This morning, our Sunday school lesson is called The Price of Jesus. And our devotional and background study comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 1 through 5. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
With the weather being like it is, it's good to see everybody here today. Our lesson today comes from the 26th chapter of Matthew. And I read this and I didn't exactly know what direction I was going to go, and I'm still not real sure, but title to the lesson is The Price of Jesus. Beginning with the 26th verse and the 26th chapter and the 6th verse. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper," some people think that was Jesus has cured him, and he is the father of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. That's just speculation there, but it seems pretty right if you'll read the other parts of this study that's written by the other people that were there. "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" Now, if you go over in the 12th chapter of John, you'll find that these words were actually spoken by Judas, who was the control of the purse strings. He carried the money with him. And it takes on even more meaning after you read and know and understand what it was that Jesus did. "When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, 'What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?' And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver," which, if you will read in the 21st chapter of Exodus, you'll find that 30 pieces of silver is about the price of a slave. Now, it's really hard to translate. I've read all kind of prices that this translates into, and it's just almost impossible to translate an exact price into today's money. But nevertheless, the Bible says 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. "And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Now, as I studied this, it sort of has two different subject matters here. One being the anointing of Jesus at this period in time by who some people think was Mary Magdalene. And you have the part of the betrayal of Judas, and that's why I was kind of didn't exactly know which direction this was going. But the thought about the anointment is that this was an anointment that this woman understood to be for his burial, which was part of the ritual of embalming a person who had died. And in reading and studying about this, I think what I got out of it is this woman, who was extremely humble, extremely submissive to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, understood better than what some of his apostles did, that his death was imminent, that it was to be shortly proven, that he was to be taken to the cross and crucified. And she understood this better than the people that were with him, because if you will read about Jesus' life and his time with his apostles, you will find many times that they questioned what he was talking about. They didn't understand about the building that was going to be destroyed and it was going to be raised, and they didn't quite grasp, and they couldn't get a hold of the fact that he was going to die and that he was going to be raised again. But the thought process here is that this woman felt that and understood it and knew what was coming. And even though the ointment was expensive, it was a cheap price for the anointment of our Lord and Savior, whom she understood him to be. Now, this ointment was probably worth more than the 30 pieces of silver that Judas received. So there's two different things here. The price she paid to anoint him and the price that Judas received to betray him. And we find that Jesus scolded those that were with him for the thoughts that they had running through their minds about this being wasted. And he said, "For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." And I just still don't think that they quite grasped what this actually meant. And then I got to thinking about the poor. You know, we hear a lot about the poor today. I think Jesus made this in the broadest sense. We're always going to have poor here in this world. And I don't know what your individual status are. I don't know whether you might consider yourself poor or middle rich or rich or whatever you consider yourself. But the fact is that Jesus said the poor is always going to be with us. And from that standpoint, I was reading what I was studying it, part of my lesson in the commentary from Matthew Henry, who did this commentary in 1706. And he said, concerning this scripture, he said, "Those who have a heart to do good never need complain for want of opportunity, for you have the poor always with you." So I thought about that, and I understood that to mean that it is our responsibility to help the poor. I mean, that's just one of our responsibilities. And I think we as a people fall short of that. I know personally I do fall short of helping the poor. And Jesus, you understand, had compassion for the poor. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the poor, where would this gospel be? Because that's mostly who he took the message to, was the poor people. Not necessarily that they were poor in spirit, but people who didn't have a lot, people who weren't considered rich. And this world and our nation is full of people who are not considered rich. And this gospel is our responsibility to get it out to all who will listen. And you know, it just seems like that the most people that were and are receptive to the teachings of Jesus was the poor people, those who didn't have anything, those who lacked everything, seemed to be drawn closer to the teachings of Jesus than those who had everything. So then we go on and we find out that shortly after this gathering here, that Judas went unto the rulers, and he told them that he knew where this one was at that they were looking for. Now, they wanted to kind of keep this quiet. They didn't want this to get out because he had followers of all these people. Now, if you will read the scriptures, you will find that when Jesus gathered together his disciples and went up into wherever he went, into whatever town he went, that it says multitudes followed him. Multitudes and multitudes of people were listening to him. And so the rulers, they certainly didn't want to stir up this multitude, so they did this all in secret and closed doors. And they struck a price with Judas that if he would betray him, they would give him this amount of money. And now the other quote I want to present to you is taken from Matthew Henry's commentary that I told you earlier. And as I read this, I thought, really, how true is this? The greater profession men make of religion. I want you to listen to this. The greater profession that men make of religion, and the more employed in the study and service of it, the greater opportunity they have of doing mischief if their hearts be not right with God. And how true is that? Because this is exactly what Judas did. Now, he had been with Jesus the whole time, and he understood what Jesus was talking about. And yet, he betrayed him. And so, today, there are people that are doing the same thing. There are people today that are betraying Jesus, that proclaim to be teachers and preachers and lay people who are following the Scripture, but in fact, they're betraying Jesus. And their price may not be 30 pieces of silver, but it's heavy nonetheless. Because with all their knowledge and with all their boldness, they are deceiving people by the millions and leading them off into a hell that will burn for eternity. And they are selling out for whatever price that they can get. And the further up the hierarchy you go, the bigger that price is. And you just look at the so-called preachers and people who are on television today talking to thousands and maybe even millions of people, living and spending money and living lavishly. What price have they put on Jesus? So let me ask you a question. What sort of person would it take to betray Jesus? What sort of person would it be? I believe honestly it occurs daily by all sorts of people. And the price that people pay is a huge sum. Their souls lost in hell. Now, what kind of price this morning do you put upon Jesus? He has a price. He does. He has a price. So what price do you put upon? Judas put up 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Is that all Jesus is worth to us today? Well, let me ask you a question. What is Jesus worth? I'm not necessarily just talking to those of you who are here, but everybody. What is Jesus worth to us today? If we had our choice, would we choose to be rich? Would you choose riches over power? Would you choose to be president? Would you choose to be rich and powerful and the president? Or would you choose to be homeless? Now, which one would you choose? You see, there's a long list of what we can choose to be. Now, let me change that around just a little bit. Would you choose to be rich and powerful? Or would you choose to be homeless and know Jesus? Now, that's a big choice. What price do you put on them? Would you rather have him and be homeless than be rich and powerful? You think how a lot of people would answer that question. Now, hey, it's easy for us to answer that question. Because I'll tell you right now, because I'm a child of God and I know I'm a child of God, I would say right now I'd rather be homeless than know Jesus. But that's not that easy if you don't know him. If you don't have him, that's not that easy of a question. So what price does the world put upon Jesus? Well, the list is enormous. Because there's the vast majority of people out in this world that are doing whatever they want to. I've told you, I don't know why this came to mind, but I've told you about one of our secretaries years ago who decided she was going to find a church that believed in what she believed in. And I thought that was the oddest way I'd heard anybody ever put it at that point in time. Evidently, I was young and didn't understand. I was just sheltered from the world. But there'd be somebody out there who said, I believe this. Now I'm going to go out and look for a church that believes this. Now, what she believed in, well, she believed in drinking. She liked to go out and drink. And she liked to get drunk. And she liked to mess around. It was just, and she found a place. She found a place that suited her. Imagine that. You found a church that says this is okay. This is good. And she really liked it there. Well, what kind of price did she put on it? She was bought out to have her way and do whatever it was she wanted to. And as far as I know, she was extremely happy. But the problem with that, I'm not judging her by any means, but by her actions, I'm saying, the problem with that is, evidently, she hadn't met our Lord and Savior. Now, she may have, I don't know, because I'm telling you, things I hear, I'm not putting anything that our own type will not do, because for some reason it looks like even God's children are not immune to placing a price upon God that leads them down a road and leads them further away from his protecting hand. Or you know what I'm saying? I mean, I just think that God's people are also guilty of some of these things. So, what price do you put upon them? This morning, did you dread getting up and coming to church? You know, you've got to find out where you stand. And you've got to ask yourself these serious questions. And understand where it is that you're coming from. The question is the price of Jesus. He gave a huge price for us. A huge price. Willingly. Now, he wasn't drugged. He wasn't knocked unconscious and drugged and nailed to the cross. He went because that's what he wanted to do. He knew that was his place. And he willingly went to the cross. What price did he pay? He paid the supreme price for us. The supreme price for us. And I thank him each day for that. And there is no way at all that I could ever repay him for what he did for me. There's nothing that I know that I can do in this life that I could ever repay him for what he did, for what he sacrificed. But I can do all that I can do, all that I know that I can do. And I fall short many times and fail to do what it is that I should be doing, and I know it. And I know that, and I realize that. So we have to ask ourselves, where is he in our life today? Are we willing to give our last cent to buy this precious ointment and to anoint his head with all the humbleness in our heart that we could find? You know, I don't even know where this story is. But there was a woman who gave the last cent that she had. Gave the last cent. Do y'all understand what that means? I mean, it wasn't but just a mite or a penny, whatever it was. But it was all she had. All that she had, she gave. Can you do that today? Could you give all that you have? You see, that puts a whole other light on it. You say, well, she only gave a penny. That's right, she only gave a penny. But that was all she had. That was all she had. She didn't have nothing else. And she gave it all. And you know, I think she was blessed with that. Well, I know she was. Because Jesus spoke about it. So Jesus, this morning, comes at a price. And the price is how much you're willing to give. He gave it all for you. We should be thinking about giving it all to him. Now, just like when I got saved, I didn't have a lot. I was just a child. I only had what my parents had. So it affects somebody who is older and out on their own more than it did me. But I know as a child, I had to be willing to give up what I had for him to save me. I just had to turn it over to him and say, you're going to have to do something because I can't do it anymore. And he saved me. But you think of somebody who's older. Maybe you were one of these and you had a job and you have possessions and you had assets. You have to come to a point where those assets don't mean anything. Whatever it is that you have to reach a point where that doesn't have any bearing on your life. Not that you're going to have to just load it up in a bag and hand it to him. You don't. He doesn't require that. But you have to get willing to forsake all this worldly possessions and go to him in a humble enough fashion and say, you're all I got. It's either you or nothing. So he's not necessarily asking us to do like this woman did, to give everything. Yet he is asking us to give everything. If that makes sense. He's not telling you, I want you to give me all you got and you're homeless and you have nothing and you're out on the streets living in a ditch somewhere. He's not asking you necessarily that. He's asking you to give him everything. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but I think you know what I mean. How much better off our lives would be if we paid the price? If we set this price on Jesus as everything that we owe and own and have in this life, and work to protect it and nurture our love and respect for Him and for what all He's done, how better would our life be? How much more good could we do if we pay that price? To some people, He's not worth a lot of money. To some people, He was only worth the cost of a slave. To someone else, He's worth everything. Where do we fall in there? Is He not worth very much in our lives? Or is He worth everything in our lives? Where do we fall in that grouping? You know, we go out in this world and we see a lot. And just like this secretary that we had, she went out and she lived her life the way she wanted to. Not necessarily that was pleasing to God, but the way she wanted to. And she thought she was right. I mean, she actually thought that she was right. But it didn't take much of a sacrifice on her part to live a life for Jesus. It didn't take a lot. So we know that there are things out there that can hinder even God's people. In 1 John in the 4th chapter, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world." And there are many false prophets out there that would tell you that you could be at this end of the spectrum and not sacrifice a lot of your life for the cause of Jesus. And then there are those who tell you it takes everything. And I believe it's this out here that says it takes everything is the Spirit of God speaking to us. He's not looking at us to just do a piddling amount of work. He's looking at us to give it everything we got. Everything there is. So when that Spirit comes and tells you it's time you do something, you think how much you owe Him. You think what price that He's asking you to pay. Then you pay it. Because He will reward you to no end. I've heard it said many, there's no better paymaster in this world than what God is. When we as His children humble ourselves before Him and give Him our all. No better. That's my lesson. Anybody have anything to say? To add to it?
Yesterday, Barry and I were, and another couple were having a conversation about the lady, what you were talking about, what was interesting you brought her up. But I said, you know, it's easy for me to give when I know I've got something left. But I don't know if I could have, if I just had a little bit, I don't know if I could have gained that and then not had anything. I think that would have been hard.
That's a scary void out there. behind you.
I said, so I can so see why Jesus wrote about that, because that lady just, I mean, I don't know. I would hope I could do that, but I don't know if I could or not.
I don't either. I'm talking about me. I don't know that I could do that. And I know that whatever we do, if we do it in His name, He will take care of us. But that's a pretty high cliff to step off on. And you have to admire that woman. I mean, she gave it all she had. Could we do that? I don't know. That's a tough question. Anyone else?
You were talking about whether we as God's people don't what price we put on Him, and you know what we do, what we ought to do, and how we do it. And I thought about David, King David, and how he betrayed God and the price that He put on Him, and how things turned out for Him. I mean, He was a saved man. Adultery, and I came to him and told him what that was going to do for him, you know, how he had hurt God and hurt the cause of God. So whenever you think, well, I would be better than Judas, it's not necessarily the case. You know.
That's right.
Look at David.
Because Judas had a price. So did David.
David paid a price, didn't he?
And David paid a price. So did Judas. Judas paid a price.
Yeah, and I also think that when you do help somebody with the right heart, that the Lord is a good paymaster. He might not reward you with monetary, but the blessings that you'll receive too. Just a quick little story, but last Sunday, the guy that came in needed groceries, so Barry and I took him to the grocery store after and took him home, and then we were going to go out to eat mezzanine, you know. That was our budget, so we just got a McDonald's sandwich and went home. Not that we couldn't afford that, I don't mean that at all, because we've got plenty, but we went on home, and then Valentine's Day, a little boy put a very nice gift card on my desk. Very nice. And I thought, where's my payback?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it doesn't mean that He's going to put our money back in an account. But it's put somewhere. Because He's never failed His people. Never, ever has He failed His people. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, I'll hear their voice, and I'll heal the land. That's where we need to be. He'll heal this land. Anyone else?
King Solomon, another guy that got blessed good, he also went astray. So we got to watch ourselves, no matter how good we're blessed, that we can't go astray.
That's right. Exactly. You got to keep that that name in front of us.
Make put God first. That's where you go.
Right. Anyone else? Don, would you dismiss us?
Most kind, Christ's Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this Sunday school lesson that I've taught this day. We pray, Lord, that you might bless all under the hearing of our voice today. We pray, Lord, that you might be with us. Help us with the church, that we might grow in numbers, wealth, and strength. Ask, Lord, now that you might be with us for our next service meeting, brother. Be with our pastor, help him as he speaks, that you might bring the message to you here this hour. Keep us submissive to thy will. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Favors and blessings, we ask in the name of Jesus, for your sake. Amen.